Hello, this is the podcast for our class on November 17, and it's class number 24. And in this, we've moved away from talking about negligence, moved away from a cause of action in negligence, and moving towards liability without fault. We're heading towards intentional torts. But on the way, we're doing a little reverse and talking about strict liability, liability without fault, liability that will be strict, not absolute. There's still defenses available, still needs causation, but liability that will be strict without the showing of anyone's fault. It's the accident happened, there was cause, there was proximate cause, none of the defenses that were available were actually shown, so liability is and remember, we talked about at the beginning of class, at the beginning of this course, that strict liability was really the order of day up until the Industrial Revolution, when it became too burdensome for manufacturers who were trying to grow and develop and manufacturing processes that had the risk of injuring people. So, you know, the Industrial Revolution caused a lot of injuries. It was too burdensome to continue to pay for those injuries under strict liability. Negligence then became rule of the day. Negligence is basically liability if fault, and so not liability at all times. Strict liability, strict liability with fault. But even though America, the United States, moved away from strict liability, they still retained certain pockets of strict liability. Even in an environment of negligence, there are still remaining pockets of activities, moving away from actions, activities that are deemed to be strict. Liability is deemed to be strict. So think about, you know, differentiate between actions and activities. Actions, drive a car, driving a tractor, operating construction equipment. Those are actions, and in actions you have to be, you do them with reasonable care. Now we're going to talk about activities that are such that for purely economic reasons, you're considered to be strict. Liability was considered to be strict. Ron C. Fletcher, the first case we talked about, illustrated the notion of using your land, doing something that is lawful, not crazy, doesn't violate any rules, doing something on your land that causes damage to something, you know, bringing something onto your land that, when it's there, it causes damage when it escapes. And the court said in Rylands, as opposed to negligence, they were going to have liability be strict. The case, when it went up on appeal in House of Lords, said, well, we're going to limit this to non-natural uses of land, strict liability for non-natural uses of land. Question, what can that be? Certainly, if you start your manufacturing plant, that's certainly non-natural. If you manufacture it in such a way that the products escape either smoke or debris or anything that escapes your land, you're going to be strictly liable if it does damage. Strict liability when there's damage. Some activities in and of themselves are just so dangerous that the liability will be strict. Can't be done safely. Going to be damaged no matter what happens, even if you're as safe as possible. the blasting cases. And the Sullivan v. Dunham, we didn't go over the case specifically because it's a pretty easy concept. If you're doing blasting, even though, no matter how safe it can be, there's going to be, you know, fine debris. And if the debris flies off the property and hits somebody walking by, liability is strict. Why? Because that's the business. And if you're in that business, you can pass on those losses very easily. It doesn't, certain businesses, they're not, you know, they're important businesses. They're not illegal, but they're just dangerous. And you pass on the losses. Buy a big insurance policy and raise your rates. The notion of these activities then as being dangerous was codified, has been codified in a number of ways throughout the restatements. And restatements are just, they have different versions, and it's just whatever version a jurisdiction decides to adopt or not adopt. So the restatements first talked about ultra-hazardous activities, pretty high danger level, ultra-hazardous activities. And it just meant that you couldn't, even with utmost care, they couldn't be made safe, and they were uncommon. Restatement second comes along and changes that, the whole nature of this inquiry. Suddenly, strict liability is not so strict. Strict liability suddenly starts to look a lot like just a minor alternative to negligence. So the restatement second has six factors, but the one that's very controversial is the one that said, and risk can't be eliminated by use of reasonable care. Suddenly, utmost care goes down to reasonable care, and that sounds a lot like negligence. And as we saw in the Indiana Harbor books, Judge Posner says, well, even though the defendant here wanted to sue in strict liability, under the restatement, manufacturing a dangerous chemical, even though the dangerous chemical may be abnormally dangerous, it can be done safely with the exercise of reasonable care. It can be done safely. So no reason to sue in strict liability. Got to sue in negligence. Why did they not want to sue in negligence? Because they couldn't. There's nothing to show that the manufacturer was negligent. They just started shipping the product. Maybe the carrier, maybe somewhere along the line. I mean, somebody left the lid off that train car and caused the escape, but it's not necessarily the manufacturer. So it was the fault of somebody, should be fault-based, but it can be done safely. Manufacturing a dangerous product is not an abnormally dangerous activity, and what we're talking about is suing activities. The idea of this abnormally dangerous strict liability, leading to strict liability, was the basis of enterprise liability and the basis of product liability. Only in product liability, you're suing on the product. When the product causes damage, causes injuries, liability is strict. Under basic common law strict liability, it's when activity causes damages that the liability is strict. And other kinds of common law strict liability situations that reoccur, escaping cattle, wild animals that you keep, and as you all know, apparently very, very well, domestic animals of known dangerous propensities. And the thing that I don't want to see, if there's that situation, not every dog deserves one free bite. It's a factual decision. Is your animal of known dangerous propensity? Question fact. What defenses are available? Well, not contributory negligence. You can't compare liability to your own negligence. maybe an assumption of risk. Certainly a valid waiver or release. Certainly that can be a defense. But basically, strict liability is an economic, the rationale for it is economic. Who can best bear loss and then distribute the loss? Bear the loss and then distribute it. So next class we'll start with trespass and nuisance, two types of causes of action that have elements of strict liability and intent. Elements of strict liability and intent.